Let's get started. Welcome to the Monolithic Dome Conference. We're grateful to have you here. This is our 14th conference, is that correct? Everybody, this is Anne. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
We're real happy to have you here. Now, for those of you that are here from Texas, that are real Texans, that white stuff out there is called snow. It's a dirty four-letter word. We'd like to thank Anne for the light show. Snow is a dirty four-letter word around here. Where we grew up in Idaho, whenever it snowed, anything like this, it's just, you know, there's nothing here. It's a big deal. You know, my kids were really excited because they didn't have to go to school today. Of course, they didn't have school today. So, snow was a kind of a fun thing around here. Frightening. We learned how to drive on it up in north. Some of you know how to drive on the snow here. We were just talking a little bit ago how here in Texas, when there's snow on the road, I don't worry about driving on it, except I become a target. You know? It seems like they're trying to... And they got so many cowboys here. It's really interesting because they think they're winning if they hit the accelerator and they stay on the road for a full 8 seconds. They figure they should get a belt buckle on it. All right. Every one of you should have a package. You should have one of these in your package. Right? Everybody say yes?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't have one, raise your left hand. And Anne will get you one. Okay? This thing is your Bible today. This outlines the entire program. I want to make sure that you know what all's going on. Okay. Excuse me a second. Did you touch that? Yeah. No, you baked that at 350. Not for a full hour, just 55 minutes. Uh-huh. No, the cookies are for later tonight. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, Jeff, call anytime. Bye. Many people come here to these places, and you get a chance to participate in a lot of fun classes where they're sharing information. I think it'd probably be appropriate to turn your cell phones off. Don't you think? And that probably goes for the presenters too. Alright? This was just a fun little thing to let you know that cell phone etiquette is proper. Alright. Unless, of course, you're a medical technician and you got somebody on life support and they need to be able to get a hold of you. Leave yours on, okay? Vibrate. Here's all the classes. There will be three breakout sessions today. First off, we're going to have a general session. If you're missing the general session, you're not. The first class will begin at 10 o'clock, and you have four choices. Now, Anne has graciously got the place all mapped out so that you know where the classrooms are, right? This will be one session, right? Which room is this, Anne?
Lindbergh 1.
This is Lindbergh 1. Has nothing to do with the cheese, okay? Number two, you didn't touch it. What am I going to do with you? Okay. One less, you're changing seats. We're going to let her go. One more time. Okay, there's a map right here on your program of where the rooms are. Okay? And alongside of the rooms and the door that goes in there, Anne will have one of these things posted with them highlighted so you can see which speaker and which class will be available in each room that hour, okay? Is it clear as mud? Okay? Anybody confused? Other than me? Okay, good. All right, we'll have a breakout session at 10, another breakout session at 11. We have lunch from 12 to 2. Lunch, they have a marvelous restaurant in here. It's buffet, $12.95, is that right, Anne? But we had breakfast here this morning, it was really good. My lovely wife and I had lunch or breakfast there this morning. Those of you who don't know, 2 weeks ago, this lovely lady agreed to marry me. We were married 2 weeks ago. You need to stand up and say hi to my lovely wife, Nana. No, you need to stand up. restroom. It's kind of funny when you talk to people in the restroom. But when I'm the lion, I'm sorry. But the first thing they say is, it's kind of hard for me to decide which session to attend, because I'd like to go to all of them. And what we've tried to do is to help you with that. We're audio recording each session. So each, if you'd like to, you can order a complete set of every session on audio on CDs. So when you leave here, they'll either be shipped to you, I think they'll be shipped to you, and then you'll be able to have that wonderful present come to you in the mail where you'll be able to hear all of the sessions. Okay, isn't that a cool option? So here you can get the ones you really, really want to see. If there's another one you want to see, but you can't make it to it, you can sure get it on the auto cassette. What am I going to have to do with you? Okay, I'm teasing. I'm messing with you. All right. In your pads or in your packet, you should have a set of notes, a notepad. I don't know how smart you guys are. Some of you have real good memories. I don't. We'll give you those pads so you can write things down. If you have any questions or notes of things that you'd like to do or instructions that we've given you, that you've given you that you need, write it down. What's new this year? New this year, we've been working long and hard to produce a new book called Dome Living. We have an old Dome Living book, but we have a new one that is available now. Hot off the press, it's got all kinds of new stuff in it. It is up to date, and it's something you want to consider looking at. Also, we have a CD of pictures, dome pictures. It's called Images. Melinda has been working tirelessly on this and has added an additional 800 new photos to the CD. So if you're into photos of domes, and many of those are houses, correct? Or homes? Most of them are homes. So we have MECD 5th edition. That's new this year. And the other thing that's new this year is my suit. You like it? I just got it a few months ago. Okay, we'll stop there. Now we get to have the audience participation. Oh, did I hear somebody say, oh no? All right, this is kind of fun for us because we get to take a poll of the audience, and it's kind of exciting for us. First off, how many of you are here? This is your very first Monolithic Dome Conference, very first conference. Quite a few, right? How many of you have been here for 5 or more conferences? Wow. How many of you have been here for 10 or more conferences? You know what? I think we only have 3 here that are we going to recognize these 3? We have also all these others, the regulars. We have with us Dr. Wilson and his wife. How many of you have been to Dr. Wilson? Okay. He's got some timers. But we have here 3 folks that we'd like to stand and recognize them for their attendance here at practically every conference. Some have missed just once. We have Kurt Olson, who's from here. Stand up and say hi, Kurt. You want me to come front and pin something on? Come on the front, we're going to pin something on you. Yeah. It's not like that kick me thing that you put on you last year. We also have... special little attachment to his bag, whatever it is. Also, we have Walter Lamb, who's here. This year, he brought his wife. We can give him a round of applause, too, right? And here from Dallas, our very own Maurice Dubois. Maurice? Thank you, gentlemen. All right. It's kind of fun for us to figure out who has traveled the furthest. Now, I know that there's some people that have traveled the least. There's some people that have actually walked here today. Who walked here today? Nobody? How many folks do we have here from the Dallas Irving area? Holy cow, quite a few. Good. All right. How many people do we have here who've traveled over 1,000 miles? Wow. 1,200 miles. Keep your hands up. 1,500 miles. 1,700 miles. There we go. 2,000 miles. What, do I see a hand back here still? Huh?
We don't know how many kilometers.
We haven't. No, yeah. Good afternoon. What kilometers is it? Where are you from?
Kenai,
Alaska. Welcome to Texas. You noticed our dew we had on the ground this morning?
Yeah.
And these back here, these folks are from?
Edmonton, Canada.
Edmonton, Canada. Welcome, Ed. And we have these from Sudbury, Canada. How many people do we have from outside of the United States? And all you folks are from Canada, correct? Welcome. We're really grateful to have you here. It's thrilling to us to see that you're coming here and that we're able to share with you something that's so important to us. Thank you. All right. What'd you do with page 2, Ben?
Right here.
Okay, got it. We have a couple of things out here in our lobby that we'd like to make sure that you know about. The DFCW, Domes for the World Foundation, they have a poster out there. I haven't seen it. Is that out there? I'd like you to make sure you get a chance to stop by and look at it. Domes for the World Foundation is doing some great things. Right now, they're to a point where they're, if you know of anyone or yourself, can donate $1,500 to it, that buys a house for a family. And that's what they're trying to do, is raise enough funds to start putting houses out for families. What did we find out about the bus rides?
We have a limited supply, and we have about 46 tickets left.
46 tickets left. Tomorrow morning, if you go out this door and out into this parking lot, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we will be leaving, right? We don't leave at 8:01. If you come out here at 8:01 or 8:02, you're welcome to wave goodbye to us as we leave. There will be two buses that will be headed from here. We will travel down to Italy to view the domes down there. There are still some tickets left. Who do we see to get the tickets in?
Marketplace registration. One of the employees.
Just grab anybody with a green name tag, or I might even find out and we'll show you. Get a ticket. It's kind of a fun bus ride. If you get a bus ride, you'll ride the bus to Italy, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Some of you like to check out here in the morning, and yet we're going to be in Italy, Texas for most of the day. They'll leave there at 4 o'clock to come back here, but what do you do with your luggage? Here at the hotel, they said that if you check out, they have a place where they can stash your luggage, take care of it, and then you can just pick it up here as you pass through here on your way to the airport. Cool deal? We have Ann to thank for lining that up. Thank you, Ann. All right. What I'd like to do now is, just a couple other things. Tonight we'll be having a banquet. The banquet will be in this area here. At 4 o'clock we have a special meeting, an MDI meeting, at the Gallagher Room down that way, the Farler's Room. They'll set this up for our banquet tonight. We'll eat here, dine together. At that place, at that time, we'll be giving away a monolithic basket. It's going to be kind of a fun raffle. We'll have somebody draw out, pick a name, somebody will have that. And included in that will be a training pack, an autographed copy of Think Ground, autographed by David South, another an assortment of fun items. That means Ann put it together, and it's going to be kind of fun. All right? Next conference, the 15th annual conference, you can get out your calendars. It will be March 6th and 7th. 2009. Alright. Now, can I go over and talk at this thing? If I talk really loud, do I need to be at this mic? Do I need to be at this mic? Everybody say no.
No, I'm good. What I want you to see is some of the things that you're going to be seeing on our bus ride tomorrow. Is that alright? What if I can do with this thing? No, I can't. This is one of the homes that you'll be seeing. I happen to pick my house. This is the Orion, but I wanted to show you some of the things that you'll be seeing tomorrow as you go down there. As you go there, we'll just drop you off in the bus. When the bus drops you off, you get to hike around as much as you want. You can see whatever you want, whenever you want, what order you want. And usually puts some balloons and an open house sign in front of each house that's open that you can see. There'll be the Orion. We'll also have one of the first eco shells ever constructed there that you can see as a shop that'll be there for you to view. Larry's home is on the dome tour. This is an exciting home because it is one of the first homes that was built. It's three separate domes inflated at one time. And all three domes are separate sizes. Is that correct, Larry?
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. Okay, now, we have to go backwards. Is that all right? You'll see some other uses for shotcrete. We'll be talking about some concrete fences that can be sprayed in place and use some other kinds of decorative rebar art as concrete staining to create barriers or other delightful things. We'll have our visitor center open, which is the IO 20, the 314 square foot rental unit. You'll see a variety of coatings of different kinds. This one has actually been coated over now. So this is an old photo that I had sneak in there. You may see some strange guinea fowl while you're there. Don't be afraid. They're not carnivorous. Larry's house again. We have, by there, there was a restaurant that is now closed, and it's on the market for sale. It's called the Starship Pegasus. It will also be open, and they'll be having an open house there. For those of you that would like to go down, drop by there. From what I hear, she's handing out free ice cream there, the realtor is. So that will be open for viewing tomorrow also. One of the new ideas that we'll be sharing with you here is the castle wall style and technique of construction, where we build the dome on top of a cinder block wall or a block wall. There's a mock-up there also on the property. In the bus, one of the first things we'll do before we go to the Italy campus, we'll actually stop and view the Italy High School gym. We'll be able to tour through there. There will not be a slam dunk contest. Sorry for those of you who've been asking. That's not the program. Excuse me. We'll also be taking a tour of the Avalon Gym, which is a little smaller, not too far away. We'll see Secret Garden and some of the other rental areas that are with the rental properties. And finally, we'll have two classes available for you tomorrow. Linda, help me out. What time is your class?
11:15 in the training center.
11:15 in our training center, Melinda and her mother Judy will be doing a decorating workshop on how to decorate inside a home, which is always a question a lot of people have. But this slide is here to remind me that at 1 o'clock we'll also have a shotcrete demonstration where our crews will actually be spraying up a concrete fence. So that will be there for you to watch and enjoy at 1 o'clock. Okay? All right. So we have a lot of fun things for you to do. There's been a lot of time and effort put into helping prepare this conference for you. And it is thrilling for us to have you come here to learn from us, hopefully, some exciting new things that will help change this world for the better. We really feel passionate about what we do. We are passionate about going in circles. What else have I left off, Ann? Is there anything that I left off? Everything looks good? All right. Well, David South, along with his brothers, Barry and Randy, are the instigators and got all this stuff going on years and years ago. And you can see that it's just continually growing as interest and as Mother Nature changes, the need for not only economic housing, but the need for strong, green, and reliable housing. Is just really important. Now, I'm assuming most of you here is everyone here interested in houses? How many are here interested in housing, personal houses, residents? Who are here interested in business? Well, about 50-50.
Well, we'll give you a good smattering of both, okay? Sounds great. Well, without further ado, it is really exciting for me to introduce to you Mr. David Sopp, who is instrumental in an awful lot of this, and many of you have met either personally or impersonally through the internet. So let's see what David has to say to us today. David.
I am really delighted every year to have an audience of friends, people that come that are looking at what I call a paradigm shift in construction. And the paradigm shift is that we're using old materials. You know, the Pantheon was built out of concrete in 126 AD. It's 143-foot half-sphere sitting up on the stem wall. It was built in the day when concrete achieved a magnificent 600 PSI. The concrete that we use for sidewalks to nowadays is 1,000 PSI. That building is still in use today, nearly 2,000 years later. It's the only building that I've been able to find of any size that still has a roof. And it's because of that shell structure that it still has that roof. Pushing against itself. It's not exactly the same thing as what we're doing. We don't, it's not a real thin shell. There were some geniuses of their time to build that facility. What we've done is we've tried to come up with a system where we can build faster, simpler. And of course, obviously, if we can, less expensive. One of the things that Gary touched on that you saw was he said our first eco shell. It was kind of fascinating that our first eco shell, and we call them eco shells because they're just concrete. We inflate an air form and put the concrete on from the outside. Now the first 15 years I was looking at the monolithic dome, that was the way everybody thought they were cool. They say, well, we inflate an air form, they finish the sentence. They say, oh, and then you put the concrete on it. Well, that's been done. There was a man by the name of Neff that did that during the 40s. In fact, they could shovel the concrete on to an inflated form. But in general, it's kind of an inefficient way of doing it. But what we've done is tried to make it work for the third world countries, the Domes for the World projects. We've tried to make it so that it really solves problems for people that don't have a place to live. You know, you can build a straw or a thatched hut. You can build a thatched hut very rapidly in these places. But then you're living with the bugs. What's the nest? The thatching. So the bugs live in the thatching. They kind of join in for dinner. They come back at night. Well, if we can build a concrete shell, then you're no longer living with them.
They're living on the outside, you're living on the inside. And so we built this system, and it's what Domes for the World is pushing. And so we have a website called DFTW, domesfortheworld.org. I have a daughter, Rebecca, that's in charge of that, and she's trying to get more money all the time. Now last year, we had a donor that made
$100,000. We went to Indonesia and built a village. But they lost the village due to an earthquake. Fantastic facility. The $800,000 built about 82 buildings. Two-thirds of the money was spent on the infrastructure. Only a third built the buildings. We built new wells, we put in new streets, we put in septic systems. So that they would have a complete house when it was all built. We built a school, a church, and clinic as well. We're pushing that all over the world. Right now, it sounds like a bigger deal than it really is. But the donor for that $800,000 contacted me recently. He says, you're not going to hear from me for quite a while. He says, I'm really busy. He's building the tallest skyscraper in the world in Dubai. And he said, I want to talk about 120,000 of those across North Africa from my Arab friends. We want that people, no matter the which race, color, religion, if we have them. That's what these little eco shells will do. Now, you and I don't want to live in a place that isn't insulated. In fact, in the United States, we got codes. So we built what we call the monolithic dome. Now, the monolithic dome is, it seems like it's built backwards. In fact, I tell people I'm from Idaho. It's cold. So I put the roof up first, then I insulated, and then I built the building underneath it. And that's really what a monolithic dome is. You inflate the shell. And then you work inside. The first day, when you're spraying the foam on it, you may still have to wear a jacket. From then on, you're in your shirt sleeves. 20 below zero outside. And we built in times up there where the daytime temperature never got up to zero. So they can do those things. It's a shift in construction. We use a fraction of the amount of materials to build the building. Well, we can build a huge building with 1,000 yards of concrete. A conventional building would take 3,000 to 5,000 yards to build the same size building.
A friend of mine is a LEEDS instructor. Anybody not know what LEEDS mean? Okay. LEEDS is a program that's put on by the Green Council where they evaluate how green the building is. And they rate it various levels. I can't remember all the levels. You get a silver level, that's pretty good. You get a gold level, that's really good. You get a platinum level, that's super good. One of the things that he told me, he said, you'll never build a monolithic dome that will come up at least gold. Now, part of the evaluation is whether you've recaptured old ground. Maybe moves. Destroy some worthless building, put a new one on it. If you do that, most generally we come up with the platinum level. Now what does that mean? It just means you got a good insulated house. What does it mean to you or me? It means we can be proud that we've done that. But in some areas, for instance in New York, we have a project going where the state is donating quite a bit of money, grants to the building because it has a platinum rating. Now one of the things that I've been studying quite a bit lately, and unfortunately don't really have all of the numbers that I would like to give to you, but when we say green, we're talking about energy efficiency also. And the monolithic dome is the most energy efficient building that I've been able to find. Normally, when we build a building, we put a fourth as much equipment in it for heating and cooling. Buildings pay for themselves in energy. Well, have you looked at your power bills lately? Have you looked at what it costs to buy gasoline and some of these things? You know, as gasoline goes up, guess what? The electric producers, they raise the price too. Beggs ISD, Beggs, Oklahoma, the last year, they just reported to me that they have a classroom dome and a gym dome. And they compared the prices, their energy cost for those two structures against two structures like it that they have in them. They figured it saved $60,000. Well, that's a lot of money in anybody's book. In fact, Maranatha Church was one of the biggest first churches we built was in Houston, Texas. We built that in about 85. The pastor told me, they said, when the downturn came in about 89 in Houston, he said, we'd have ceased to make it if we'd had to pay conventional power. I said, well, what are you paying? He says, oh, we're paying $1,600 a month. That sounds like a lot of money to me. 34,000 square foot building. And I said, well, that still sounds like a lot of money. And he said, oh. He said, conventional buildings my size in Houston are running $10,000 a month. And so he had his staff put it together for me, and they figured that had it been a conventional building versus what he had, then 13 years of pay for itself. And just energy savings. And when he said pay for itself, he says, I'm talking about pay for the parking lot and for the entire facility. So, we're all wanting the similar thing. We want to have more green world. I've used the term green. We want to be able to have more energy. We want to be able to take care of each other. And this is kind of what we're trying to do. Now, is somebody back there by the light switches? Gary, can you throw that? Yeah, you got that slide on. I'm going to have him throw the lights off, and you're going to see why in the next slide. This is a building built in near Saskatoon. This is a commercial building built by a man that's starting to get into building of buildings there in Saskatoon. His name is Rob Phillips. What he did is he invited some folks over to do thermographs. Now, nobody has seen these thermographs before this morning because I got them in last night. But notice the position of the main door, and then notice the position of the second door. Now, give us the next slide. Okay, and you see that first door? Boy, this thing is a pointer. There you go. That's the door. Can you see the building? You can see the light. That's a dome sitting right there. Okay, the next slide. Now, what's a thermograph? There's a picture taken just a little bit to the side, still showing the edge of that door. A thermograph is an infrared photograph that's showing the amount of heat loss out of the building. Okay, next slide. That's the backside of the building. Now, the next slide. That's the other side of the building. Okay? That is the conventional building. Now, it was a super insulated building. It's an insulated steel system building. And you can see the lights, and this is taken inside the building. Okay, next slide. This is taken from, I think this is from the outside. That could, his description didn't get here. Next slide. There's three of the doors on the building you can see from outside looking at those three doors. And they show up pretty well. The next one, you're going to see something that will surprise the heck out of you, though. Mm-hmm. Here's your heat leaks all along the roof. You can count all the purlins. You can see the base, the doors. This is their super insulated pass shot. Next. Okay, can you see what we're showing you? And you know, I don't even have to give you a big long explanation of what the difference is. Now, this was taken at 25 below zero Celsius, which is about 20 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. But you can see, now this part right here is external, so it's not heated. Okay, next. And this is some pictures inside of the building of the thermographs. And I think you may have one more, I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, please. You can see from those thermographs why... Now, Dr. Wilson and I were talking just a little bit before we came in here. We're going to try a new gutter system on the buildings. And I said, the thing that worries me about gutters is the smoke coming off the building. And will we tear the gutters off? He says, I'm more worried about the ice. And then we started talking about ice buildup. And many, many buildings have the ice buildup at the gutter, you know, with their eaves. And the ice will build up to where it'll tear the eaves off the structure. And one of the things that we've noticed on the domes is there is no melting due to internal heat. The only last snow in the whole area will be on the dome. When I have a home in Idaho, the garages, the carports, the things that would normally hold snow for a long time, it would be all melted off of them. It'd be melted off every roof. It'd be off the ground. And there'd be a big patch up on the top of my dome. And finally, the weather would warm up just enough because, see, the sun couldn't hit that north side.
But they didn't warm up just enough, and then all of a sudden you'd be sitting here, ooh, there'd be this huge loud noise as things coming on. You don't have to worry about heat buildup. I mean, you don't have to worry about ice buildup on the inside, because on the outside they don't, because it just doesn't warm the surface at all. So there's none. There is, for all intents and purposes, the 3 inches of foam and the 3 inches of concrete act as if there is no heat loss whatsoever. Now, it's really difficult to get people to believe it unless they've seen it. The California Energy Handbook shows where they took and put an inch of insulation on the outside of 8 inches of concrete, and they measured what happens as the temperatures rise and fall. Temperature go up and down on the outside, goes up and down on the inside, but at a much slower rate. If you take the concrete, well, I got it built. If you put the concrete on the outside, which is what most block buildings are, with insulation on the inside, there would be a 1 to 0.5 reduction in the way that acted from hot to cold, hot to cold. You put the insulation on the outside of the block, you're now taking advantage of the thermal mass. It went from 1 to 0.5. There's a full reduction. What does that mean? It means that we've all been hooked on R values. We go buy insulation and it's got an R6 or an R20 or now you go to my website and you'll find where I wrote a paper called the R Fairy Tale. And it is a good indicator, but it's also a fairy tale. Is to suppose that 3 inches of fiberglass with an R of 9 is going to equal 3 inches of styrofoam with an R of 9 is ludicrous. Because the fiberglass can have air blow through it, can have water get in it, it suffers when it gets cold. You don't find it published anywhere, but fiberglass, when it goes to 18 below zero, has already lost half of its R value, just because it's cold. Styrofoam, I'm going to use the term styrofoam because it has the same R value. Styrofoam doesn't care. It can go as cold as you want. It's still got that same R value. So when I really needed my R value, it's 20 below zero in the plains of Montana, I've already lost half of it, just in the physics of it. Now, if the wind can start blowing through it, what do we build furnace builders out of? Fiberglass. So now your house is insulated with a furnace builder. So then the next thing we do is we put polyethylene or Tyvek or something to try and keep the wind from blowing through our house, which destroys the R value. And then what about water? 2% by weight in fiberglass of water will cut its insulation value in half. Well, what's 2% by weight? It doesn't weigh much. All it means is you get a real good humid day. It will give you a serious reduction. I'm not here to knock R value. What I'm trying to do is educate you. R value is only one measure. The earth we live on, it's warmer in the summer, cooler in the winter. That earth is a heat sink. And that heat sink, it lets the heat out. It comes up into the sky in the wintertime, in the summertime, it absorbs heat. And it's called thermal diffusivity. Now there's a man sitting in a class in Arizona, and the teacher's up there saying, well, here's the R value of styrofoam, and here's the R value of a brick. And a brick is zero. It's actually 0.00 about 3, but for all intents and purposes, it's zero. This guy's sitting in class and he said, I got a problem with what you just said. He said, I'm staying out at my granddad's hacienda. And he says, it's the coolest house in the whole area in the summer. And it's the warmest one in the winter. And it has no insulation at all. But it's made out of 5 foot of brick. Why? Well, the thermal diffusivity of that brick says all day long, all week long, all month long, we're starting to heat it up when it's hot in the daytime. But we're also cooling it at night as the heat can escape. And there's so much mass that it's acting like an insulation to the people on the inside. And so it's the only way that I can tell you so you can understand the paradigm shift in the construction of the monolithic domes is because of the symbiosis between the insulation and the concrete. Now some of you are going to get caught. You go to Oregon, and Oregon says, we got to have so much R value, and the only way they'll give you R value is if you go to the ASHRAE chart and look it up. And so they say the roof has to have X R value. We don't care what's made out of concrete or metal or what, it's going to have a certain R value. Some areas, you get the little inspector that doesn't want to know anymore, you're going to have to go with 4 or 5 inches of urethane. You're either going to go with it or you won't build your building. Where the rest of the world, the rest of us know that we won't need it. But it's because of the thermal diffusivity of the concrete. Now the first inch of urethane will take care of 70% of your heat loss. Second inch goes to 90% of your heat loss. The third one goes to 95%. And you put it on the outside of that concrete and it doubles. So, freezers I'd like to go with. Now, I got those slides and I wanted to tell you about them. And I didn't have any place in the rest of the program to tell you about them, so I got off on this subject. I really wanted to tell you how grateful I am in the church. Ann's given me the 5 minutes. We really try and keep this thing on time. I want you to look around tomorrow at the buildings and things there, and we've got 75 or so at our place, and they're all different kinds. We've got eco shells that we've developed that we've now added ground up styrofoam into the concrete. Makes a big difference. Where we've tried that, Mongolia, makes a big difference in Mongolia. Holds the price down. Is it as good? No. You'll also see a lot of different coatings, and you find the good and the bad and the ugly. And we're not a bit above telling you the stuff that works and the stuff that doesn't. In fact, most of the time I tell people, we're one page ahead of you in the book. Have you ever had a teacher teach, and he reads a lesson that night and teaches you the next day? Well, that's where we are. We're one page ahead of it. Now, we've tried thousands of things in Boulder, and we don't spend all day there dwelling on them, but I want you to know that we're grateful for your input. Those thermographs came from Rob Phillips. I don't know how you get those thermographs. Okay, one other thing is I spaced it when I got talking. Randy, I want you to stand up. This is my youngest brother, Randy. Randy was 5 months old when our father died, and he and I have done a lot of things together, including building a bunch of domes. And Andrew, is he with you? Are you here, Andrew? He's outside. Okay, you met my daughter. There's Michael back here. I have 9 children, so some of them are here and there and in all parts of the world. Have you had things like that happen where your kids just kind of move? We're delighted to have all of you here. My staff are open for all the questions. If they don't know the answer, they'll come find us and ask them. We're here to learn from you, but basically you're here to learn from us because we've spent a lot of money making mistakes. And so try and live off my mistakes rather than off of your mistakes. And then remember, when you go home, you're going to be weird. You know, you start talking to people and you want to build a what? And what do you want to build that for? And why would you want to do that? But they're rammed. And especially you gals, you're going to be the worst. You're going to have a lot of problems. Yeah, but they're rammed. I had one guy go through my house one day, and when he got through, he said, "Boy, I love everything I see, but what will the neighbors think?" And about the third time, he said, "What would the neighbors think?" I said, "You know, I got a suggestion. You go pass out a sheet of paper to all your neighbors and ask them to design your new home." But reality is it's important what the neighbors think. The dorms can be just as nice and pretty as any other building. They can look like an ugly pig if you just set them out there and don't, especially if you park 8 or 10 cars. You never clean up the mess over there. You know what I'm talking about. They can really get looking pretty ratty. Lately, I've noticed the people that have been selling the dorms, very few sell them, but the ones that I have been selling, been getting astronomical prices out of them. The one guy, I think he said he spent $400,000 on his, sold it for $1.6. That's a pretty good return on your investment. Okay, Gary, I'm turning it back to you or Sam, goodbye.